Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us.
Thank you very much, Paul, for reading. And please do keep that passage open in front of you. That will be a big help. And also, you should find on the other side, there's a little outline. If this is your first time here, a special welcome to you. It's great to have you with us as we approach Easter time. 007, license to kill. Suave, sophisticated, savvy. Gets the car, gets the girl, gets the baddies in a different way. Saves the day, saves himself, saves the nation, saves the world, queen and country. What a hero. The credits roll. Yet another Bond movie. All's well that ends well. But here in our passage in Isaiah at Easter time, the story doesn't seem to go that way. It doesn't seem to end well. You see, the hero at Easter time suffers and dies. That's the mission, it seems, to die. Many of us are familiar with the story that Jesus goes and dies on a cross. And so maybe we're not so shocked about that. But we should be once we think about its significance and who it is that is dying. This is supposed to be God's king, the ruler of the universe, and he is dying. It doesn't seem to end well. It's not very Hollywood, is it? Is it? It's not how it happens in the movies normally. And maybe in some movies, kind of some kind of French movie, maybe it ends that way. But it's not very commercial, feel-good, comfy US kind of movie, is it? It doesn't have that feel to it. It's not what we're used to. It's not what other religions and movements portray. It's not what they do in terms of when they celebrate, do they either? They don't tend to celebrate the death of their founders more than their life. Other religions and movements have a crescent, a lotus flower, a wheel or a rainbow and things like that as their symbols. But for Christianity, the symbol is the cross. Celebrities wear it on a chain around their neck. It is almost like wearing a noose around your neck. And as we think of all of that, maybe we think, pretty pointless. I mean, Jesus cut down in his prime, only 3 years of public ministry. That is less than Obama had. That is less than David Cameron's had. If only he'd lived longer, he could have done so much good. He could have sorted so many of the big problems out. He could have sorted out the Middle East, sorted out the EU, and maybe even sorted out Donald Trump for us. What a shame. What a tragedy. What a waste. Oh, well, never mind. Just eat another Cadbury's cream egg. In this series, we've been considering some of the really big questions of life. And today's question is, did Jesus die a pointless death? And the answer is, no, he didn't. He didn't do so. But it is the question that lots of people do ask and wonder. And the answer is given to us by the prophet Isaiah, and he wrote about 730 years before Jesus' death. He predicted these events, but more than that, he also explained their significance. And what he wrote was very carefully arranged. So this little passage that Paul read out for us comes within a section known as the Servant Songs. And Isaiah 52 verse 13 to the end of chapter 53 is arranged like a five-layer, multi-decker sandwich. And these three verses that we're looking at today are the centre of that, if you like. And verse 5, which we're going to focus in on, is the centre of the centre. Well, what is the point then? What is the point of Jesus' death? Well, the reason should shock us if we understand it correctly. It's that it's been the year of the Russian costume drama, hasn't it? On the BBC, at least. And to borrow from Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, I think the point is this. First of all, crime and punishment. And secondly, war and peace. Crime and punishment, war and peace. First of all, then, crime and punishment. Look down with me at the passage again. And here is what is ours. Verse 4, our griefs, our sorrows. Verse 5, our transgressions, our iniquities. Verse 6, we've gone astray, turned to our own way. He's not exactly laying on the compliments, is he? It's as if he reads off a rap sheet, but it's not a TV crime drama. It's us. It's our crimes. And the effects and the consequences are there too. First of all, in verse 5, transgressions. It means rebellion. It means treason against God, the one who made us. Now, maybe as I say that word treason, maybe that sounds a little bit OTT, over the top. But we all do it. Let me ask this question. Who is in charge of your life? Who has the right to call the shots in your life? Well, the answer, if we're honest, is I do. I am. I'm in charge. I do what I want, mostly. I'm free, mostly. Of course, as long as no one gets hurt. But that is how I live. Transgressions. But also, iniquities. Iniquities means the twistedness of human nature. Picture a car that's been twisted in an accident. But it's us, and we're like that, naturally twisted. We see these things, of course, in Syria and recently in Brussels, where I used to live. But we see glimpses too, not just on our TV screens, but closer to home, in our hearts. We want to twist the rules. We want to make up our own rules. We want to live how we want. Twisted. But it gets worse in verse 6. Sheep gone astray. And at this point, it's a little bit embarrassing, a little bit awkward, comparing us with your average dopey sheep. We've all, you see, wandered away. Here's what one time happened to my father. He was driving his car in the fast lane of a motorway, and there was a sheep wandering in the fast lane as well, and he hit it head on, and it completely trashed his car. It was a complete write-off as a result of that, and the sheep was dead. And apologies to the vegetarians amongst us, but the policeman walked up to my dad's car wreck, my dad beside it, and he wasn't very diplomatic, and he said, "Lamb chops for dinner, sir." Well, actually, when Dad got home, that is exactly what it turned out was on the menu, unbelievably. But this is the comparison that is being made here. It is comparing us to wandering sheep, wandering head-on into the traffic. Except, it's not an accident. We have turned, it says, our own way. Like a sheep that's gone off the path, gone onto its own road, making my own way in life. I'll do it my way is the theme tune of our lives. We wander after whatever we fancy. We wander after whoever we fancy, whenever we fancy. As long as we can afford it, as long as hopefully no one gets too hurt in the process. Everyone loves inclusivity, don't they? But not this kind. But it is all of us. All we like sheep. Each of us has done it. Not just a herd mentality. And that is pretty shocking, isn't it? It's not comfortable reading. It's not comfortable for me to say. It's not very feel good, is it? Again, at this point, maybe we're thinking, maybe someone can please pass me the cream eggs and maybe we can head for the exits. Maybe we're starting to prefer Christmas now to Easter. And it is not how we normally think. And it's not how our culture thinks either, is it? Normally, there are the good on the one hand. They're the ones who get the prizes, the Nobel Prizes. They get the awards in award season. They get the knighthoods, don't they? David Attenborough, people like that. The ones who show us how to care for our environment, our planet. Eddie Izzard, 27 marathons in 27 days. They're the good ones. And then there are the bad ones. And it's pretty clear who they are as well. the terrorists in Brussels, the rapists, the murderers, the real criminals. These days, people want to add in the politicians and the bankers maybe as well. And some people even maybe want to add in Donald Trump as well. But then there's the rest. The semi-good, the more mixed. Not perfect, but trying. Making an effort. The okay people, we hope. The people who are just above the line. And I guess that's where we tend to put ourselves most of the time, just above the line. Well, this passage says, actually, we have crossed the line. It is God's line. We have crossed the line with God because we haven't loved the God who made us. Instead, we want his stuff, but we don't want him. I have crimes, and my crime is treason. And it is my way all too often that counts. I live how I want. My guilt is there. Maybe I hide it. I try to whenever I can. But it is true. This is me. This is the picture of me. But that's not all. Because the crime also deserves punishment. There is crime, a crime, and there is punishment. Look at verse 5 again. Look at the words it uses. Pierced, crushed, chastisement or punishment, wounds. We want justice, don't we? We want Bond to deal with the baddies. We want God to deal with the serial killers, the terrorists, the people like that. And that's right, isn't it? But we also want him to deal with the tax evaders and the people who cheat. But sooner or later, he has to deal with the rest of us as well. He has to punish us too. And it's not something we like to talk about. It isn't the way to win friends and influence people. Maybe this sounds a bit medieval to you. This hell business sounds medieval. It's there to make us feel guilty and uptight and maybe fill the churches with guilty people. Maybe we're tempted to switch off. Maybe we're tempted to switch off because it's so familiar as an idea to us and we've grown cold to it. But it is real enough. The punishment, it is real enough. Hell, it isn't where my mates are, not we're all having a good time together. It is a place where everything good has gone. There's no laughter, there's no friendship, there's no satisfaction. All of those good things that God gives us here and now are gone. But actually, there is another shock. Actually, maybe even a bigger shock in our passage still. It is our crime, but in the passage, it is not our punishment. Wonderfully, someone else takes our place. Jesus does, on the cross. It is all placed on him. 7 times it says he or him in our passage. Jesus, he steps into history, and when he does so, he deals with our history, our backstory, our personal rebellion, our treason against him. It is a substitution. In sport, we understand how that works. We understand how substitutions work. Actually, for me, I was never the substitute. I got those kind of school reports that said, Philip is uncoordinated. But this is not sport. It is court. It is God's court. And here, it is God's king who is our substitute. As John Stott once said, God himself gave himself to save us from himself. God himself gave himself to save us from himself. Just think about that for a minute. It is hard to imagine, isn't it? But this is what Jesus went through on the cross. This is what he did for people like us. This is how much he loves people like us. He is punished, so we don't have to be. He bears it. He carries it. He shoulders it. He's struck. He's smitten. He is afflicted or degraded. He is pierced, fatally pierced, like St. George pierces the dragon. He is crushed, crushed to pieces, pulverized, like on a rack. It's amazing, isn't it? It's very moving as well. And who is he? Well, he is Jesus. He is the King of the universe. He is the Jesus of history. And it is God, it is the Lord who did this. He laid it all on him. This is no accidental tragedy. This is a deliberate plan. He wasn't surprised by events. It didn't take him unawares. As I say that, more than a few people have found this distasteful. And some have even recently called it cosmic child abuse. You can understand why people might think like that. It's hard to stomach, isn't it? But it isn't child abuse, because God sends his son, and Jesus, the son, goes there willingly. He doesn't go with an arm twisted behind his back. He goes there with outstretched arms as the nails are put there. He does that in love, willingly, for people like us. In many ways, maybe we prefer Christmas to Easter. But without Easter, without this message, without Jesus taking our place, well, all it leaves us with is either pessimism or over-optimism. Pessimism, on the one hand, despair, nowhere to go with our guilt, even the low-grade guilt. The musician Dave Grohl says this: guilt is cancer. Guilt will confine you, torture you, destroy you as an artist. It's a black wall. It's a thief. It's as if then we're loaded with luggage. The days before, the luggage came with all those wheels that they have these days, but we're loaded down with it. That is one option, pessimism. The other alternative is over-optimism. We have to pretend we're not guilty to begin with. Here's the kind of self-help advice you find online. Be less self-critical. Try that. Practice positive affirmations. Be more affirming of yourself. But it never really works, does it? It doesn't offer any comfort, does it? Even the comfort food doesn't offer much comfort. The mini eggs don't offer much comfort, do they? But there is comfort. There is real comfort. Because there is crime and punishment. But secondly, there is war and peace. Verse 5. The result of Jesus' death is an end to war, an end to hostilities between us and God. Peace. Peace. Peace with God. And suddenly, we can breathe again. The fresh air of Easter. Peace is the word shalom. But it's more than a greeting. It is a promise. It is a promise of a restored relationship with God. That's where it starts. Vertical peace with God. That is what is on offer. But it goes further than that. It ends in a new world. Horizontal peace, relational peace with one another. No more war zones in the Middle East or Brussels or anywhere else. It is the peace that we all want. So did Jesus die a pointless death? Was it a tragedy just? Well, no, it wasn't. The tragedy would be missing out on what is on offer, as he offers it with outstretched arms to us, and offers us peace, and asks us whether we'll accept it. On the 13th of January 1982, Air Florida Flight 90 got into trouble, and it crash-landed nose down into the Potomac River just outside Washington, D.C. And when that happened, there were only 6 survivors of that terrible accident. They were clinging on to the wreckage of the plane. And people tried to help them, tried to rescue them, but they were just too far away from the riverbank. And the water was frozen solid, well, pretty cold. And there was ice about the place. And people tried. They tied things together. They even took sort of fan belts off cars and scars and tied them together to try to reach them, but they couldn't. But eventually, after 20 minutes, a chopper came to rescue them. And they dropped down a rescue line, with a rescue ring attached to it. and Arland Chubb Williams, a 46-year-old man, an ordinary man, a 46-year-old federal bank examiner, took hold of it. He was even scared of water in the past, but he took the ring and then he handed it to someone else. And he did that once. And then he did it again a second time. And then he did it again a third time. And then he was gone under the water as the cold and the exertion took over. And it was all live on TV. And that was it. But his death had a point. He rescued others by his death. All they had to do was take the lifeline. That's all they had to do. The question is, will we do it? Will we take the lifeline? Have we done that? Normally at Christmas time, that's the time when you receive the best gifts. But actually, this is the best gift at Easter time. And yet some people still reject it. Some people reject it because they don't like this idea of crime. And they think, I don't have a criminal record. I go to church, I'm okay. I'm a good person. I try to do my best. But the crime is treason. And if that is the crime, it doesn't matter whether you score a 2 or a 9 out of 10 on the morality stakes. It's not enough when the crime is treason. Others reject it because it's not so much this idea of a crime that they don't like. It's more this idea of punishment. They don't like that. It sounds too barbaric, too medieval. Jesus dying in our place sounds just too horrific. And so they reject it. But if we do that, the problem, it won't go away, you see. We can bear our own punishment. There is that option available. But why would we do that when this is on offer to us? Why would we reject this gift when God has gone to such lengths to give it to us, sending the Son he loves to die for us? Or maybe we've known this for a long time and we've accepted this gift and we've done that. Well, it is something to shout about if that's the case this Easter time. This is where the true comfort lies. Happy Easter.